and welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, both military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to try to explain why these things are happening and what it means long term to you and me. Then during the second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and by way of His covenant, a relationship which features five conditions and five benefits. If you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, or if you just know there's something not quite right with your religion, this will be the best part of today's program. Our number, if you would like to engage in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. Now on to the news. Last night, as I was watching the evening news, I was horrified. I'm often disappointed when I hear the news out of Washington, but this was extraordinarily bleak. The White House announced last night to the singing chorus of senators on both sides of the aisle that the CIA has been approved to send weapons and provide military training to the rebels in Syria. And you have to ask yourself, why on earth, how on earth could we be stupid enough to do this? Assad is a bad guy. Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. But when you back people who are worse than the government they're trying to oppose, very bad things happen. You know, the United States should have learned the lesson when we invaded Iraq. At the time, Iraq was the enemy of Iran. At the time, Iraq was a secular country. At the time, Iraq was the least prone to sponsor terrorism of any Islamic country. And then we invaded Iraq, and all of that changed. We gave Iraq to Iran. Iran was now able to develop its nuclear program as opposed to fighting Iraq. Iran then gained control of what was an Iraqi ally in Syria, now totally dominating the country. It gained control of Lebanon as a result. It shifted the power in the Middle East. So we replaced a nasty dictator with a government that is totally controlled by Tehran. And now, after all of that, after leading a civil war in Iraq where 900,000 people died, we're going to exacerbate the civil war in Syria with weapons and military experts? I mean, look at Afghanistan. The United States used a proxy in Afghanistan, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, to fight the Soviet-backed government there. And we started a civil war that left 2 million Afghanis dead. And then, 20 years later, we go back to Afghanistan and invade the country to oppose our previous allies. Squandering between the two invasions over $4 trillion and collectively 900,000 lives. Somewhere along the way, didn't we learn something? Evidently not. Seeing people that are carrying weapons and fighting a dictatorial government, of which there are only dictatorial governments in the Islamic world, somehow spurred politicians to say, we ought to send more arms to those mujahideen, those jihadists. We ought to ignore the fact that if they prevail, Syria will be even less free. Because if they prevail, they will bring in fundamentalist Islam. Islam means surrender. It means submission. The Quran says there is no freedom for Muslims because Allah has chosen your religion. And yet, mistaking freedom fighters for Muslims, actually mistaking Muslims, those who surrender, for freedom fighters, the United States has decided that we're going to arm the mujahideen. It boggles the mind how stupid our country can be, particularly after just having lost the Iraqi war and just having lost the war in Afghanistan, that we would go and do something this foolish. You know, this is how it began in Vietnam. And then, based on lies, the Gulf of Tonkin incident did not occur. We invaded Vietnam, and we, just as the case was in Iraq and Afghanistan, we made a bad situation worse at the cost of tremendous blood and spilled coin. Well, immediately after the news got out that the United States was going to allow its most immoral organization, the CIA, the very organization that equipped al-Qaeda in the first place and the Taliban when we wanted them to fight a proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan, that the moment we announced that news, the Russians immediately dispatched three naval vessels, each carrying 120 Russian Marines, 360 Marines, which are sailing now to Tartus, and they are going to move into the country. What on earth have we wrought? I am almost speechless on how stupid we can be. And the reason for this is just wholesale ignorance. And it's not just wholesale ignorance on behalf of politicians, those who are making these decisions. It's wholesale ignorance on behalf of the people who are voting for them. And it does not matter which candidate you vote for. I witnessed John McCain making a speech on behalf of the Mujahideen and the jihadists, who are fundamentalist Muslims, who are opposing Assad. And I'm here to tell you that had America elected John McCain versus Obama, as bad as Obama has been, he would have been worse. We would still be engaged, losing the war in Iraq, and we would be ever more engaged in Afghanistan. He would have used U.S. troops in Libya as opposed to just U.S. weaponry from above. As bad as Obama has been, John McCain would have been worse. And that tells you a lot about this upcoming election. Each of these men are clowns. Each of these men are deceivers. Neither deserve your vote. I want to continue a story now that we were considering, I think it was three programs ago. It was a program where the Islamic State of Iraq, which is a Sunni terrorist organization in Iraq, has been misnamed al-Qaeda, where the media in the report says, yes, the real name for this organization is the Islamic State of Iraq. And yet in the next line, they will say, at its peak, al-Qaeda in Iraq. And that is just how this story reads. At its peak, al-Qaeda in Iraq, which they've just told you isn't its name, it's the Islamic State of Iraq, brutalized its victims with publicized beheadings, suicide bombings, and roadside bombs that targeted Shiite government, the U.S. military, and Iraqi civilians alike. In an attempt to goad Shiite militias to respond, al-Qaeda bombed the revered Shiite shrine in Shamara. In 2006, that attack launched Iraq's descent into more than 3 years of sectarian fighting. That means just interreligious fighting. In reality, the Islamic State of Iraq, the Sunni Muslims in Iraq, which are exactly the same Sunni Muslims that are now fighting in Syria, in fact, the porous nature of that border and the fact that the same people are fighting against Assad on one side of the border and fighting against the Shiite government in Iraq on the other side, exactly the same people. And in one group, we're calling them the enemy and we're labeling them al-Qaeda. On the other side, we're now equipping them and labeling them freedom fighters. They're exactly the same group of people. They did not goad the Shiites into war. The reality is the exact opposite. The Shiites formed an enormous militia called the Mahdi's Brigade. And this Mahdi's Brigade, which speaks of the Messiah that is expected by Iran, this is Shia Islam, the leader, the warlord that is going to unify the Islamic world, that is prophesied to unify the Islamic world so they can conquer the world, first destroying Israel in the process. This Mahdi is the name of the Shiite brigade that was headed by the Islamic warlord Sattar, who is still the most influential Muslim in Iraq. They began to terrorize Sunni Muslims, in addition to killing American troops. And it was in response, in defense of the Shiite militias, that the Islamic State of Iraq, the Sunni Muslims, rose up. And it was to defend themselves there. Well, now these same people are the freedom fighters in Syria. Because there is a Islamic civil war that is brewing between Sunni and Shia Muslims. It is a war that the United States took to the global stage. It had been simmering between two countries, Iraq and Iran, but once America gave Iraq to Iran, it is no longer simmering. At this point, you have all of the Sunni nations and the Shia powers using proxies now to fight one another. It is about to explode, and by the United States engaging in this and getting Russia to engage in it, we have poured gas on the fire. This article goes on to say, it says, but the Iraqi wing of Al-Qaeda, there is no Iraqi wing of Al-Qaeda, it's the Islamic State of Iraq, was shunned by Worldwide Terror Network's central leadership. Well, that is true, that the original Al-Qaeda, the Al-Qaeda that was the ally of the United States in the Afghani Civil War, that Al-Qaeda had absolutely nothing to do with Iraq, hated the government of Iraq, and had no presence of any kind in Iraq. And even after the United States invaded Iraq and Sunni terrorists began to engage in Iraq, it was opposed to their actions. This is Shattering Myths, 877-300-7645. We'll return to this discussion after the break.
Good day.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths, where we are about the task of exposing the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, as well as military schemes. The problem we have here in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, throughout the Islamic world and the United States and other countries' intervention, is that not only do the politicians seem to have no understanding of the forces and influences at play, but the people voting for the politicians, empowering them, appear to be equally ignorant. And there is a consequence of ignorance. I mean, I want to make this perfectly clear. Ignorance is not bliss. In fact, Yahweh in the book of Hosea, bluntly says that because of their ignorance, my people are destroyed. If we continue as a people to be this ignorant and to support a government doing things that are this stupid, lying to us, spilling blood and coin, making bad situations worse, who ultimately is to blame? The beguiling politicians or those who elected them, those who patriotically supported them?
In a democracy, you have to blame. The people have just as much blame as the politicians. I mean, they have to.
But Scott, that's my view on this as well. And the purpose of the show was we have to recognize we are not going to influence the America's politicians. We're not going to awaken them, cause them to all of a sudden develop some character, backbone, and to do the right things for the right reason. And while we aren't going to reach the preponderance of the American people, there is the opportunity to awaken enough people to the realization that you ought not be patriotic, you ought not be political, you ought not go through the world ignorant of the truth, because the consequence is going to be grievous. And so the whole hope of this program is to help make listeners aware of what is really happening and what the consequence of that's going to be, so that they will plan accordingly. They will protect their families appropriately. They will guide their families realistically, rationally, and not just mutter through the world, saluting the flag and voting for the lesser of two evils as we move through our election cycles. You know, the reality is that the very people that are wielding weapons in pursuit of Assad in Syria are the very same individuals motivated by the exact ideologies who are part of the same Islamic terrorist organizations who are detonating suicide bombs throughout Iraq. It's the exact same group of people. And it is very much like what happened in Egypt, where in Egypt, everyone in America, all the politicians, wanted to side with those freedom fighters, those protesters who sought democracy, not recognizing that over two-thirds of Muslims today are fundamentalists, and that should they be empowered over the military dictatorship of that country, that they were going to do precisely what they did, which is to elect a government that is three-quarters fundamentalist. The Salafis won 25% of the vote, the Muslim Brotherhood about 45% of the vote, and we got exactly what should have been anticipated, which is far worse than the military dictatorship that had preceded it. Fundamentalist Islam is the single greatest threat in the world today. And that is what we are now aiding and abetting in Syria. It is what we enabled in Iraq. We gave that country to the Sunnis, and so the Shias in Iran, which is why the Sunni Muslims in Iraq are now terrorists. This article goes on to say that by imposing overly strict Islamic discipline and alienating the tribal leaders, that the support of Iraq's Sunni communities were ultimately used to oppose the presence of, they will say, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, but this is the Islam in Iraq, the Islamic government of Iraq, the terrorist organization. What actually happened is America called it awakenings. And what we did is we decided that we would provide guns and ammunition and military weaponry to Sunni warlords that said that we will use these weapons to fight even more fundamentalist Muslims of the Sunni persuasion in Iraq. If you pay us and if you arm us, that we will turn our weaponry on them as opposed to the Shias. Of course, it was all a lie, and it just made the situation worse. Again, this is Shattering Myths. Our number, should you wish to engage in the conversation, 877-300-7645. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're currently engaged in exposing the misconceptions associated with religion and politics. During the break, Scott, my producer, and I were having a discussion about how we get ourselves in this mess where we don't seem to learn our lesson. And his suggestion was that we're just projecting our values and our perceptions on other people and thinking that, well, they must be like us and they must want the same kind of freedoms and opportunities that we want, and therefore let's ignore the fact that they are Islamic and we are not, and just view the world through our eyes, which gets you into a tremendous problem. And I think that is, to a large extent, the issue here. Now, the last time that Islam had a total free hand where they could do what they wanted across the world, they led the most vicious campaign of terror the world has probably ever experienced. The first 100 years of Islam was a river of blood. They conquered and killed, murdered, raped, pillaged everything from India all the way to the far northwestern tip of Africa and virtually everything in between, leaving a rivers of blood in the streets. Islam is a terrorist manifesto. It is a declaration of war against all humankind. Islam's values are the antithesis of the Judeo-Christian ethic. It is exactly the opposite. You know, we in America seem to think that democracy is a good thing. We think that America is a democracy. America is not a democracy. It was founded as a republic. Our founding fathers knew that democracy was a bad thing. It is mob rule. In the Islamic mindset, democracy is a horrible thing. And it's horrible because there is no Islamic country that is going to allow free speech. If you tell the truth about Muhammad and Islam, for example, in an Islamic country, you will immediately be killed. There is no freedom of religion in an Islamic country. There is no freedoms of the press to express oneself in the media. And because these freedoms and even reasonable educational opportunity and economic opportunities do not exist in the Islamic world, there is no merit in democracy, even if democracy were not mob rule, because what happens is that the only influence in those countries is the mosque and the imam in the mosque, and the imam in the mosque says, God's going to see to it that you roast in hell unless you vote for the Islamic candidate, and they go off and they do it, because they have no information nor any way of getting in for any information to the contrary, and that is what we see when we witness votes in the Islamic world. And so it is not productive, it is counterproductive. And indeed, what is happening in Syria will be the same thing. Speaking of this interplay between the same terrorists in Syria and in Iraq, this is a comment from a Baghdad political analyst. He said that the insurgency now feels, they call them insurgents, they're not insurgents, they're just fundamentalist Muslims, feels emboldened by the success of the Sunni-dominated uprising in neighboring Syria against Damascus's Alawite rulers. It's not a Sunni-dominated uprising. It is an exclusively a Sunni-Muslim uprising against the Shia dictators in Damascus. The Alawites are an offshoot of Shia Islam. It is leading a sectarian war, and Iraq is part of that war. It's part of the ideology of this region. And yet we don't understand it. The very Islamic terrorists that are using suicide bombs in Iraq are the exact same people that are waging war against the Shia government in Syria, that the United States is on one side of the border arming and guiding, and on the other side of the border saying that, well, we said we went into the country to kill. This is a quote from Ayed Alawi. He said, things are not good. Things are very bad here in Iraq. He is a Shiite leader of the Sunni, but a Sunni-dominated political coalition said that in an interview with the Associated Press, our society here in Iraq is split. We don't have even a semblance of democracy here. We have a mockery. That is the real. That is what we left in Iraq. We made a bad situation worse and led to the deaths of 900,000 people and squandered $4 trillion, leaving a mockery in our wake. One which has now spilled over into Syria. Bombings and drive-by shootings were virtually unheard of, this article said, in Iraq during Saddam's regime. I can tell you, they were absolutely unheard of. I went back 5 years before the first Gulf War, and terrorist acts in Iraq were essentially non-existent. Now, that's because Saddam, as a dictator, kept a tight grasp on society. But now Sunnis and Kurds are complaining that they have been completely sidelined by the Shia rulers who are controlled entirely by Iran's mullahs, and they are rising up, and we have terrorist acts every day. Last month, the anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr became the most influential Shiite to join the Sunni Kurd demand that Malaki resign. It is a complete sham that exists now in Iraq, and we left it broken. In a related story, at least 19 people were killed by two car bomb explosions in the Iraq capital of Baghdad. The blast happened within minutes of each other in a central Shia district. It was a marketing district. In other words, they were women and children who were killed, and it was during rush hour. The first bomb exploded outside of a restaurant and a bakery, the second outside of a marketplace. Sunni insurgents, this says, linked to Al-Qaeda. No, they're just fundamentalist Sunni Muslims linked to Islam appear to have been behind the violence, including a wave of bombings and shootings in Baghdad and towns throughout the country that left 107 dead. The Interior Ministry told the AFP news agency that the first attack had been carried out by a suicide bombing, while the local TV channel said that both attacks had been suicide bombings. Here's a cultural reality for you. What percentage of suicide bombings today are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims? How about 99.9%? The reality is that 99.9% of all terrorist acts today are perpetrated by the best Muslims. The best Muslims are terrorists. That is a reality. They are terrorists because Muhammad was a terrorist. Muhammad led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. In another related story, Islamic militants killed 325 Iraqis in July, making it the bloodiest month in nearly 2 years. The figures show that 241 civilians, 44 soldiers, and 40 policemen were killed last month. And almost 700 people were mutilated by suicide bombers. The worst day of violence was on June 23rd when more than 100 people were killed by bomb attacks across Iraq coordinated against Shiite Muslim targets. Again, this is as claimed by Iraq's Al-Qaeda affiliate. No, Iraq does not have an Al-Qaeda affiliate. When we raided Osama bin Laden's lair, we found that he had absolutely no influence whatsoever against the Muslims operating as Mujahideen in Iraq. He despised what they were doing. He was opposed to them. He was not their leader. Sunni insurgents often attack, this article says, Shiite targets to try to reignite sectarian violence that killed tens of thousands of people. No, they're not trying to reignite sectarian violence. They're trying to assert their control. As Yahweh said when he sent Ishmael away, speaking of his descendants, which are today's Muslims, their hand shall be raised against their brother's hand shall be raised against them, and they shall live in hostility with the whole world. We are witnessing a civil war between Shia and Sunni Muslims. The insurgents have launched at least one major attack a month since the U.S. troops withdrew in December, leaving behind a country riven with political and sectarian feuding. We broke the country and we left. In June, Reuters counts show that 237 people were killed and 600 were wounded by suicide bombers. July's death toll was the highest since August when the government said that 426 people were murdered. Iraq officials say that Al-Qaeda militants are passing in and out of Syria through their 420-mile border. Baghdad has sent troops and tanks to strengthen security at the frontier with Syria, where fighting between government forces and rebels has become more intense. Even Baghdad recognizes that the border is porous, and the same people that America is now arming on one side of the border are acting as suicide bombers on the Iraq side of the border. In the same region of the country, it's the same story, different article. Human rights activists have condemned the public shootings in Syria of four apparent Assad loyalists by rebels in the battleground city of Aleppo. A video was posted online which shows the men, who included the alleged head of a local militia, being put up against a wall and then shot with Kalashnikov rifles. Human Rights Watch told the BBC that the act was a war crime. This was now perpetrated by the rebels that the United States is arming and guiding. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said the nation's fate is being decided by the fight against the rebels. The head of the UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which documents violence on all sides of the conflict, condemned the killings by the rebels as being criminal. Russia, one of Syria's closest allies, said the video showed that there were human rights violations on both sides, and indeed there are. There are no good sides here, only bad and worse. Activists said that 135 people were killed across Syria on Wednesday, in figures which could not be confirmed independently because there is no independent or freedom of the press in any Islamic country. The police shooting seemed to have taken place on Tuesday in what looks like a schoolyard. In the video, which appeared on YouTube, the gunman can be seen leading a number of men in their underwear, many of them bruised and bloodied, having been tortured, into a crowd of people who were slanting, shouting slogans against them. It's a horrible mess, and we are now in the midst of it. This is Shattering Mess. We'll return on the other side of the break. 877-300-7645. Welcome back to the final segment of the first hour of Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics. And we do so because we want you to be equipped to make rational decisions. I want you to know why it is appropriate to oppose your government, to not vote for the lesser of two evils in various elections, because this is the kind of thing that we are sponsoring. The United States has now decided that we will equip, we will train, we will guide the very men that perpetrated the torture of Syrians and then their execution. The story reads that after half-naked men were put up against the wall who were bloodied and who had been tortured previously, the camera moved back behind the crowd, losing sight of them, and then a heavy gunfire from Kalashnikov rifles erupt, after which the camera shows the pile of dead bodies against the wall. Clive Baldwin, a senior legal advisor for the Human Rights Watch, told the BBC, quote, "What it looks like is execution of detainees who have previously been tortured, and if that is the case, this is evidence of a war crime." He added that having seen the evidence of abuses and torture, he says these kinds of executions are now common and they have been going on for some time in Syria. He's not talking about torture and murdering detainees, prisoners, being perpetrated by Assad. He's talking about them being perpetrated by the Mujahideen, the rebels, who are fighting Assad. One last story in this segment of the news. U.S. Secretary of State, this is a related story, although a little further south than the area we have been talking about. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton has said on the two Sudans, has told them that they need to settle their disputes that have brought them back close to war. She visited the South Sudanese capital of Juba. The row over oil has led to huge economic problems for both countries. The South Sudan has suspended all oil production, accusing Khartoum of stealing its exports with austerity measures that have sparked violence also in Khartoum. The Secretary of State said, "We need to get those oil resources flowing again." after talks lasting more than an hour with the South Sudanese president. Quote, a percentage of something is better than a percentage of nothing, as she said, according to the Reuters news agency. Here's what has happened. The Arab Muslims in fundamentalist Islamic government in the Sudan murdered 3 million people over 25 years. It was the worst genocide since the genocide was perpetrated by Pol Pot in Cambodia. He murdered 3 million Christian and animist Africans, this Muslim terrorist, and his government in the Sudan. After doing so, the world finally intervened after supplying weapons that were used by Sudan and carved out an independent South Sudan state. But they didn't bother to figure out that the only pipeline for them to export their oil, because their farms have all been destroyed, is through the North Sudan, and therefore there is no way for them to get their oil out. And the Muslim government of the Sudan decided they would charge 10 times more for the transport of the South Sudan's oil than other countries for similar pipelines, and therefore it was a economic disaster. And all this president can say is, you all better just get that oil flowing again and don't bicker over these kinds of issues. Well, the United States aided and abetted the fundamentalist Islamic government in the Sudan. We provide weapons to them. We provided technology to them, and they murdered 3 million people. And yet we did not intervene on behalf of those people in Africa, and we only got Hollywood to finally cry foul when in Darfur region of Sudan, Muslims were killing Muslims and Arab Muslims were killing African Muslims. The reality is, until you come to understand what Islam does to a person's soul, what it does to their mind, what the religion represents in its quest to control the world through the sword, through terrorism, through armed insurrection, until you understand what Islam is all about, there will be no hope of us guiding our country appropriately in the world. And we will continue to engage in the kind of blunders that we have engaged in Afghanistan, where we made a bad situation worse, and now an 11-year war in Iraq, where we left that country broken, and now where we are arming the bad guys in Syria. This is Shattering Myths. I look forward to being with you after the break. 877-300-7645. Please call us and engage in the conversation.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my